Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored hosted by two cripples. How you doing? I'm Jamie. That's Tommy sitting over there. What's on the show this week, sir?
We're going to talk about that. Trust me. We've also got lots of Nintendo news. Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct, and so a bunch of newsy things out of that, including the thing that I've been playing for the past 3 days. And so we'll get into those details. Also, Cyberpunk 2077 video finally landed, which was less exciting than I had hoped, but still exciting.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. Game Pass games are freaking awesome. Gears of War is out, and so we'll talk about that. A little bit of Tokyo Game Show news. So yeah, lots going on.
Lots going on, but I worked and I worked and I worked and I thought mainly just during that intro there. And it occurred to me that we're very similar as we become older. Yeah. And so, you know, it's a show hosted by two cripples, essentially.
That's fair. So a little background on that point. We've been talking about the kidney stone for quite a while now on this show, because I've had a kidney stone for quite a while, and so I don't anymore, which is the good news out of this whole thing. I actually had surgery earlier this week to remove a kidney stone, because that's how old I am at this point.
Yeah.
And, it's a good time, and so don't have a kidney stone anymore. I do have a tube up inside of me, basically where the kidney stone was, a tube that's in between my bladder and my kidney, which feels basically the same as having a kidney stone. So as of yet, I have not gotten relief, but at least moving in the right direction, I suppose, which is
good.
I always get a kick out of the idea that like people see this show and like their, you know, podcast app of choice and like Gaming Uncensored, cool, I'll download that. I bet these guys cuss all the time, you know, and like we never cuss hardly, and so it's not that. But you're gonna get to hear me talk about peeing, and so like for what it's worth, that's where we're at. It's kind of a fun like operation. They stick a tube up inside of you without any incisions, so use your imagination how the tube gets up in there. That has a laser attached to the end of it, and they break up the kidney stone with a laser and then like go and pull it out and then leave this other tube inside of you to like drain all the gunk out, and then they go up like a week later and go back in and pull the tube out. The good news is for the operation, they knocked me out, so I you know, don't have any recollection of all that. I just know it hurt to pee afterwards. So that's fun. But to go back and get the tube, yeah, you just go to the doctor's office and like lay back, and they apparently just go up there and get it with like you sitting there. And so now that's like, you know, all I could think about is like this doctor, like just going up there to get that tube out in like 4 days. So yeah, that's exciting.
Okay so we've known each other a long time.
Yes.
And you've seen me in some very personal situations.
This is true.
And I understand all that you're talking about.
Yes.
Because there's been a few times in my life that I've had to stick a tube up in there on purpose. Because you can only go so long without going to the bathroom. And if you're somewhere where bathrooms and cripples do not get along, you gotta take care of that.
Yep.
And I don't care what anybody says, doing it on purpose is no better than having a doctor do it. And it doesn't feel any better.
You would not imagine. Like,
I love, like, these catheter commercials. I'm starting to see catheter commercials for, like, catheter supplies. And their whole thing is get your dignity back, because we can mail it to your house and we can do all this and you'll be comfortable. Trust me, folks, if you put something up there, it's not ever comfortable. So, yeah, I know exactly where you're at.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're feeling. And that's why the only thing I said to you when you said you were getting surgery is don't die, dude. Because our lives are pretty good right now.
Yes.
And if we can just get over this little hump, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So yeah, I know about all of this, and I'm honestly really sorry that I can't be there.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably the only person in your life that really understands this.
100%.
And I know your wife does not.
Yeah.
And all you have done for the last 3 months is take crap.
Yeah.
So I really wish I could be there. I wish I could be there for Thursday, because you're gonna need all the help you can get.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear. Thanks, man, for the support.
on the upside, I will be there in like 2 weeks.
Yes, looking forward
to
that.
So there is that. Yeah. We're having a real good time getting old, folks. Yeah. That's all we can tell you. It's a lot of fun getting old.
I have never, thankfully, and I hope that this is true for most of our listeners, that you don't ever have this experience either. But I've never, until this past week, really understood like the idea of it burns when I pee. You know, like that as a punchline to a million different things is always like, ha ha ha, it burns when I pee. Like, I get it now, and that sucks.
Like, yes, it does.
I'm not going to wish that on anybody, man. That's that's some miserable stuff.
It's not good at all. And when you're in that situation, there's nothing you can do about it either. Like,
yeah, so this is my, again, way more information anybody wants to hear. This is what you get at Gaming Uncensored. Like, my experience of taking a leak at this point is like, luckily it's a little better today than it has been the past few days. But like, starting off, it just burns like a, you know what, like just, yeah. And then there's like this split second where you're like, ah, this is nice. This is, you know, like what I remember it feeling like to just pee. And then all of a sudden, because I have this tube inside of me, like my kidney starts like spazzing out and I get these crazy cramps in my side that make me want to fall over. And so, yeah. And I have to go to the bathroom like every 20 minutes. It's just this constant, yeah. It's miserable. Don't get kidney stones, people. It's not fun.
No, don't.
Avoid
lots
those.
And lots of water.
Lots and lots of water. Yeah, drink
and
water.
Lots of water.
Drink water. It's good for you. Keeps
your
kidney stones away.
you will find this interesting. I have pretty much given up all pleasure in my life. You know, I'm a big fan of soda. I've always liked soda.
Yep, yep.
And it's been that way our whole lives. Well, You know, a couple of years ago, I kind of sort of gave that up and switched to tea, right? And so I started drinking more tea. And then when stuff started happening with you, I was like, yeah, I don't need that to happen. So I started drinking more water. And I have this Yeti, this 30-ounce Yeti cup. And I swear to you, all that's ever been in that Yeti cup is water. And I fill it up like once a day, and I drink it down, and then I fill it up again. And so I'm not drinking tea, not really drinking soda, haven't had any alcohol, and all of this is to make sure that I never get a kidney stone.
That's wise. I would have said at one point, man, that seems excessive. It's no, yeah, do whatever you gotta do. Kidney stones suck.
It's really not. Although I will say this, when I get there, I don't really care how you feel. At some point, there's going to be a fair amount of alcohol.
Yes,
because I think we need it, both of us. Yeah. So there's that.
I think you are correct. I'm looking forward to that. I haven't had anything to drink, and I'm not. You know, we've talked about this on this show before. I'm not a big drinker, but I have a drink, you know, two or three times a week, and I've not for a little while now. So that'll be nice. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a good time. So we'll have to drink a little and play some games, and have a good time. So.
And believe it or not, we got stuff to play. There's lots and lots of stuff.
Isn't that the truth?
Do we want to talk about that quickly, or do we want to get into news and then talk about that? Because I realize we're on the clock with your bladder.
Yes. So. That is true. It's a ticking time bomb all the time at this point. No, go ahead. I don't honestly have a lot to add to the conversation, but I'd love to hear what you've been playing.
All right, so a couple of things. I made a huge mistake this week. You know, I was on The Sims for a while.
Yeah.
And then I started playing some Game Pass stuff.
Yep.
And then we got this little present from Duff in the mail, which I have not opened, by the way.
Nice.
Duff's really getting, like, annoyed. Because he got to the point where I talked to him like every other day, and he's like, dude, did you open it yet? And I'm like, no, man, we're going to do an unboxing. I'm taking it to Tommy, we're going to do an unboxing. He's like, no, you got to open it. I haven't opened it. So to appease Duff, I made the mistake of getting back into Path of Exile.
Oh, very nice.
And we have been killing things. And I know when I started playing this game, I told all of you guys you needed to play it. And several of you played it for a little while and emailed me, Justin Halstead, I'm looking at you, and said it's too easy. I'm level 22 and I'm bored. Well, Duff and I just started Act 6. And the thing about Act 6 that I realize, even on the standard difficulty, is that starting in Act 6, you lose 5% XP every time you die.
Nice.
So imagine this, okay? Imagine going through an area and being two bars away from a level and then dying. And you're like, crap, I gotta get that back. And at this point, I'm like level 53, so it doesn't happen that fast. And so about the time you get it back, you die again, and you lose it. So I started looking on the internet, just wondering how far they would go. And it turns out that you can lose your entire XP bar by dying, you can't lose a level, but you can lose the entire XP bar.
Nice.
And so now I'm learning why people have told me over and over, you got to make sure your build is right so you don't get hosed in the later part of the game. I told you, I told everybody else that I was told by other people that this game was on the level of Diablo 2 as far as hard. And I can tell you, sir, that we are there. It's hard.
Nice.
And it's really, really cool, but it also makes me extremely paranoid. Because, like, I'm creeping through areas going, don't die, don't die, don't die. And like, it really gets to you, I gotta be honest. So, you have so much stuff that you need to play. And I was playing with Duff last night, and he goes, dude, we're in Act 6. Why is Tommy not here? He should make a character, and he should be in here. Why is Tommy not here? And I was like, dude, time. And he's like, it's easy. You make a character, and then it's there, and you spend 20 or 30 minutes a day. It's fine. I'm like, no, dude, you live in Hawaii. The rest of us live in the real world. Time.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not getting it, but I say again, sir, we really need to play because this game is great.
Yeah, I would love to. I really, man, it's a game that obviously, like, feels like it'd be right in my wheelhouse. It's obviously right in your wheelhouse. We both love Diablo 2 so much, and just, yeah, I'm envious of of that experience and hopeful that at some point it'll happen. I don't know when at this point. It's not soon, but at some point I would love to be able to dive in. At least I'm not going to be able to spend hundreds of hours in it, but at least spend some time with you guys and running around dungeon crawling. I haven't done that in years. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. And this is one of those where, you know, I've soloed a good chunk of it, but even he said last night, because we're playing last night, it's so much easier when we play together. So all of you people that got to a certain level and said, I'm bored with this and quit, I tell you again, re-download it because it's worth your time. It is excellent. I cannot believe it is free to play. And I have more than 100 hours in it. Like, that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
So, there's that. And I was reading on the net that there are people who have more than 1,000 hours in it and have not reached level 100. Like, it's that insane.
That is insane.
So, yeah, there's that. And that's pretty much all I got because that's all I've done for the last week.
No, that's fantastic.
But I want you to know that I'm doing it for you because I'm not unboxing this headset until I get there.
I really appreciate that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that a ton.
I did take it to work thinking that there would be time to pull it out and mess around with those guys because those guys don't play VR. And then I thought, wait a second. I'm supposed to be the responsible one here in the office. I can't be pulling out a VR headset. So I took it on Friday. There was never any time. And I'm thinking it will not be open before I get to your house. So there's that. I'm looking forward to it. It's a lot. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a couple of things that I'm curious about as far as that goes. And if we have time, we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I agree. I'm very much looking forward to it. All that said, should we get into our news for the week?
Absolutely, let's do it.
So a couple big things that happened, I alluded to in the intro. The first is that Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct that was like 40 minutes long and packed full of quite a bit of news. And so I kind of wasn't expecting that here at the beginning of September, but alas, here we are with a bunch of Nintendo news. And so we'll run through several of those things, and then we'll get into talking about Cyberpunk, because that also happened. We knew that one was coming.
Right.
But I think the Nintendo news ended up being a lot bigger. Like the Cyberpunk thing just kind of landed and was like, oh, cool. But this was significant, starting with what probably to most people wasn't the headline, but for me, and I imagine for us, is the big deal, because we're old and love nostalgia. And to me personally, my favorite console of all time is the Super Nintendo. I've talked about this before, as much for nostalgia as for the games that are actually on it. But that's the first console that was like really mine. Like, we had a Nintendo when I was young, but the Super Nintendo came out when I was, 8, 9, 10, whatever age I was in there. And that, like, I had ownership of it. It was my console. Those were my games, and those were like my formative years, And so just the Super Nintendo has always been my love. And so Nintendo announced during this Nintendo Direct, and it's already happened, that a bunch of Super Nintendo games, specifically 20 Super Nintendo games, would come out on the Switch Online service. We already have a whole bunch of original Nintendo NES games that are on the service, have been for quite a while, and those are fine. I've played a chunk of those. But this is a whole different level to me. And I'm just going to run through these games, because it is just a really shockingly great lineup of games, of first-party games for the most part, but just really, really fantastic games. And so I won't mention them all. I'll skip some of the ones that maybe aren't as big of a deal, but Breath of Fire, which is cool, Brawl Brothers, Pilot Wings, F-Zero, that's pretty great, Star Fox.
All right.
Yeah, like getting into real stuff now. Star Fox is amazing. Kirby's Dream Land 3, Kirby's Dream Course, which I don't even know what that is, but that's cool. Super Ghouls and Ghosts, kind of forgot all about that one, but that one's there. But then it's like the real, like the all-stars. Super Mario Kart, which is just so much fun. That original Super Mario Kart game is a blast. Super Mario World and Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, which are both really, really phenomenal games. Super Metroid, which we've talked about my love of, and your love of, and both of us in our childhoods, of that being such a big game, is now on there. And A Link to the Past. Both of those games that I talked about just recently that I had this weird experience with on our trip to Memphis a few months ago. All of those games are available on the Switch Online, with more coming. They haven't announced when or what's coming next, but they're going to continue to release games for this. But Super Mario World, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, and Super Metroid, for me, are the three best games on the Super Nintendo, other than Final Fantasy VI, which is my favorite game of all time. We'll see if that comes. That's obviously a little more complicated, as it's not first party. But for first party games, like that, that's it. Like that's the lineup. Like, those are phenomenal. And in my favorite part of this whole thing, the service on the Switch to play these games works like an emulator, where you can have save states. And so when you played these games on Super Nintendo way back in the day, you were limited to when you could save. So like in Super Mario World, you had to beat a castle or a haunted house or something like that to save. Now you can just save whenever you want. You can save in the middle of the level. You can just save the state and then come back and reload it later on. And so it's that thing that we've talked about, where like, if these companies don't want people to use emulators, make that product available and make it like a similar experience. That's exactly what Nintendo's done here. It's supported by Nintendo. It's slick. It's easy to access. It has the convenience of what emulation does. It's brilliant. I love every single part of it. I don't know that anybody else listening to this show cares, because I don't know if anybody else is as nostalgic as we are about the Super Nintendo, but this is phenomenal. It's going to eat my life.
Now, because I have a discussion point on this, because I want your 2 cents, because I'm not sure that I buy it. But I've said many times on this show that I work with 3 guys that are in their 20s at the shop, and we just got a new intern that's like 17 and a half. So there's that. And there has been an ongoing discussion at the shop that all the Switch basically is an emulation machine, which I don't necessarily agree with because they got great software. But this kind of lends credence to what they're talking about. And I think it's funny because I'm looking in my closet right now and I have a Super Nintendo in my closet, which I stole from our buddy Vinny the Mullet's apartment before he left. I have a Super Nintendo in my closet. You have one.
Yep.
They're both going to end up in the lab someday when we have the studio with the fancy gear, which, by the way, let me just mention to you that the ever-present rainbow that is Nate Duff is quite certain that we're going to be massively successful before we die.
I like that optimism and the idea of the ever-present rainbow. That's great.
Well, it kind of is.
No, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, you can kind of say whatever, and he's like, it's all good. It's going to be fantastic.
Love that, dude.
And so we're going to have all of that stuff set up when we have the studio. And this kind of boggles my mind that these are there, and you're right, it's going to own your life, but do you realize how insane it is that you have access to all of these? And the reason that this is going to own your life is because we're all lazy and all you have to do is click.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
It's completely about access and convenience. Like, because you're absolutely right. I have Super Nintendo sitting in my closet behind me right now. I could plug it in and I could play Super Mario World whenever I wanted to. And I haven't for 10 years, you know? But I played it a bunch this week because it's right there. Like, I just pick up the Switch and it's two clicks and I'm playing the game. And it's brilliant. It's everything. Like, I remember, like, I wore that game out as a kid. And so, like, I still remember, you know, all the secret ways to get to the, you know, like, double exits and to get to the bonus world and all this kind of stuff. And so, for me, that's, like, just this super fun nostalgia trip that, you know, I'm not going to play it forever, but I'm going to play it for, you know, a good 10 hours or something and have a really, really, really good time with it because it's convenient, because I can do it, you know, like, during my lunch break. Which I can't take my Super Nintendo to work and play Super Mario World during my lunch break. Or, you know, like when I have, you know, 20 minutes while a little girl's taking a nap, but I need to do something else in a little bit. Like, it's just so handy to have it that easy to pick up and go and then to put down and have all these other games there too. It's just great. To the point of like the Switch, the thing it is a glorified emulation box. What I think is genius about the Switch, and we'll get into this in just a little bit even more, is that it just does so many things that are both niche but also like broadly appealing so well. Like, I feel like with the Wii, they like went all in on like kind of casual market thing. And the Wii had some great kind of more, you know, core Nintendo titles, Super Mario Galaxy and Twilight Princess, and, you know, like some really good stuff on the Wii that was, you know, more like us who play games all the time, do a podcast about gaming or whatever, would appreciate. But really, the Wii was about Wii Sports and getting those people that otherwise, you know, wouldn't approach a game console into the game console world. And then they tried to kind of like go back to like the core gamer with the Wii U and just didn't quite figure it out. What they've done with the Switch is like, let's just make everybody happy, you know? And so I would argue one of the best games ever is on the Switch in Breath of the Wild. And at the same time, it's also got all these super approachable, like, casual games. We're going to talk about something new they're doing in that realm of that's very Wii-like here in just a second. And it's got all this nostalgia stuff that's great. It's, like, saturated with RPGs. And so, like, if you're really into RPGs, like, there's a billion of them on this console. It's just on and on. Like, they've just, like, said, I think we can make everybody happy. Let's try to make everybody happy. And so far, they're doing a really good job of that.
If you don't have a Switch at this point, you really need to go get one.
Yeah.
And we don't say this very often, but you cannot look at the price. The price cannot be the determining factor, because you look at the price and you're like, $250 and PlayStation 5's coming out and all, got all this Xbox stuff and Game Pass and all that. Now, if you don't have a Switch, you need to go get one.
Yeah.
And it's totally worth the $250.
I don't know if I'm quite here yet, but I think I'm close, and I might be over this line if I had to make a choice, and thank God I don't have to make a choice here. But we've played this game a lot in previous console cycles as well. If you could only have one, right? If you could only have one between the Nintendo's been so weird on this because they've been off on the release cycle from the other people. But like we talked about with like Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3, you had to have an Xbox 360. That's the one that you had to have. This generation between PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch, we'll include Switch in this conversation now. I would have said PlayStation 4 up until now, but I'm just seeing a really good argument for the Switch being the one. Like, it just does so many things so well. Now, I love the PlayStation 4. Again, thank God I don't have to choose. I can have both of them and happily play games on both of them, which I do on a pretty regular basis right now. But if I only could have one of them, I really think I might choose the Switch at this point, which sounds really crazy to me of like how many great games are on the PlayStation 4 and how much I've been lauding the PlayStation 4 for the past 4 or 5 years or whatever it is. Damn, man, I think the Switch is either right there or is overtaking it. It's just crazy.
Well, and the good thing is, let's think about that price for a second. So you buy a Switch, and more than likely, you have money left over because the Switch is the cheapest of the three consoles. You have money left over, and you're that much closer to being able to buy a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox or whatever you want. And while you're saving, you have all these great games to play.
Yeah.
And it's on the go.
Yes.
Like, that's what frustrates me about the Switch. I would already have one if I could pick it up and take it somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, if I were just lucky enough that my hands worked, I'd be living on the Switch.
Yeah.
It's that good.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think I could sell your point in that if you have the $250 and you can get one, that will keep you happy until you can save up to buy the other whatever.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I'm there with you, believe it or not.
Yeah, which is shocking. My Switch sat dormant for quite a while, but not anymore. Like, I stick it in my backpack almost every day when I go to work. And half the time I don't take it out, but I like having it just in case I have 10 minutes. I've got Smash Brothers. I've got Mario Maker. I've got now all these SNES games, you know, available. And what's great about all of them is that I can just pick them up for 5 or 10 minutes. It's not like something that I have to like dive deep into to feel like I get anything out of. You can just run a couple of stages, or in Smash Bros, just do, you know, like a quick run through of like a classic mode and like whatever. Like, it's just like it's so good on the go. It's so practical for lots of things. And there are those deep dives. You can jump into Breath of the Wild and lose 60, 80 hours of your life in it and enjoy every second of it. It's just, yeah, it's just all around fantastic. A few more things on it. We won't just keep lauding the praises of the Switch without adding other things of why we laud the Switch praises of the Switch. Really quick on the Super Nintendo thing. They are releasing an SNES styled controller that's like they did the same thing with the NES. That's just a Super Nintendo controller that's wireless that connects to your Switch and is exactly like a Super Nintendo controller, like everything about it, which is super cool. They're $30 a piece, I think. So I don't have a ton of interest of paying $30 for them. But they're cool. If you're using that feature a lot, that's pretty great.
If you make a SNES Advantage, I'll buy one.
Yeah, there you go. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, somebody, because that's what I used back in the day, was the joystick. Somebody make that for a Switch, I will buy one.
That'd be fantastic. By the way, while we're talking about buying stuff, and before I forget, thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. As always, we appreciate your support a ton. Again, especially in these kind of lean couple of months when we've been pretty flaky on shows. Hopefully that gets better. Looking forward to getting a roundtable in soon and getting over kidney stone stuff and back into some routine. That'll hopefully happen a little bit easier. But you guys have been there for us and with us and through all this, and we appreciate it a ton. So thank you, guys. If you want to support us on Patreon, go to gamingcensored.com. There's a link right there on the right-hand side of the page near the top that you can become a patron and give us money, too.
Just real quick while we're talking about that, I have to bring up the ever-present rainbow that is Nate Duff again. Because he said all the stuff about we're going to be huge and we're going to have all the money that we want. And one thing that he said was that the Patreon's going to blow up. And I was like, dude, we don't give them enough content.
Yeah.
He's like, are you kidding me? You guys are vastly entertaining. And all I could think was, I want whatever this dude's on.
Isn't that the truth?
Like, I don't know if it's like in the air in Hawaii,
yeah,
but he believes it, and I hope he's right.
I love it.
So, for all of you Patreon guys that are like, I don't know why I paid for this, we really want to be better. We want to get you more content, and it will happen.
Yeah.
Because the ever-present rainbow that is Nate Duff said so.
Yeah, we've got some content coming in a couple weeks for sure. That's going to be exciting. So. You will be getting more soon, which is a good thing. Back to the Switch for a couple more things. So I'd mentioned that the Switch is trying some Wii-like stuff. This wasn't actually part of the Nintendo Direct. They released this after the fact, and still don't know what this thing is. They just released a YouTube video that's called First Look at New Experience for the Nintendo Switch, and it shows a lot of people playing with a couple of new accessories, gadgety kind of things. They don't actually show any games in this, so we don't know what they're looking at on a screen. We just see them, which is kind of a genius way to sell something that looks like they're trying to make it very community, like Wii-ish. Like it's fun when you have a lot of people playing Wii Sports by yourself. Not really that great, but playing Wii Sports with a couple other people, super fun. This thing, it's not Labo, but like we've seen Labo and done that thing. This is a thigh band, like a strap around your thigh, and a kind of medium-sized stretchy hoop thing. And you put a Joy-Con in each one of them, so a Joy-Con on this thigh strap and a Joy-Con in this hoop thing. And apparently there's, like, games that go along with it. It looks very, like, activity exercise oriented, like it looks like, you know, like Wii Yoga is going to be a part of this or something similar to that. Maybe some like archery stuff with this like elastic hoop thing. I don't know what they're doing with it. This from Engadget, they say the size is about the size of a medium pizza, if you need a visual there, or go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com, and you can see the video of it. I don't get it. I don't know what it is, but knowing Nintendo, it's going to be a massive deal.
I just want you to know that as you're saying that, I hear Richard Simmons screaming in my head. I'm like, that's all I can hear is, get those legs up! Come on! Thump up the energy! Hear that music! Let's go! And I can't do the Richard Simmons voice, but seriously, they should pay Richard to do those.
That would be fantastic if they had like a Richard Simmons me on there that's like leading you through stuff. It would be phenomenal. A couple other bits of news from the Nintendo Direct now, going back to that. Overwatch, this is how they actually started the Nintendo Direct. Overwatch is coming to the Switch middle of October. Both kind of crazy that that game is still what it is. And it's not nearly as big as it was at one point, but coming to the Switch will revive it because that's what's happened with a ton of other games. Also, this is just crazy in its own right. And this goes back to that kind of like sense of the Switch being an emulator box. So this isn't really emulators, but the Switch is really good at like breathing new life into games that have already been released. Like so many of the big news things of games coming out on the Switch are games that we've already played, you know, like Overwatch has been out for years, but there's a lot of people that haven't played it because they didn't have the device to play it on, and they have a Switch. And so it's going to bring in a lot of people who played it before and haven't played it in a while that can now take it on the go, because that's a big part of this. And it's going to bring in a lot of people that would love the game but otherwise didn't have a way to play it. And it's just, again, it seems genius to put that game on the Switch, because it seems genius to put just about any game on the Switch. We talked about The Witcher in the same way. Like, just every time they bring one of these games to the Switch that's already been out for a while, it's like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It does, and like, there are certain of these games that I can't imagine playing on the Switch. Overwatch is one of them,
yeah.
Witcher is another, but apparently it works. I mean, apparently it works.
Apparently.
So.
And it's going to do bangers. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a big deal.
Yes, it'll be a huge deal. And it's already a big deal because it got Tommy to say the word bangers on their show. That's fantastic.
Fair enough.
So, there's that.
Two more games in the same vein, one more recent, one older. Divinity Original Sin 2, also coming to the Switch. Also seems kind of genius. We'll also, and this is super cool, we'll have cross-save with Steam. And so if you already have the game, already played it a bunch, you can now transfer that save over to your Switch and just keep on going, which seems like a really, really big deal for that game.
Okay, you know what would totally change our life on that? I would fire up Divinity Original Sin if you picked it up on the Switch and we could play co-op.
Yeah.
That's crazy thought, but who knows?
That would be cool. No mention here at this point of cross-play. But cross saves at least gives you some hope that could happen. That's a cool thing. And then lastly, this is getting way back into the emulator kind of thing, but what I'm sure we'll see at some point, Doom 64 is coming to the Switch, which is also super cool. And I could easily see the same kind of what they've done with the NES and SNES games with the 64, of just releasing a whole bunch of 64 games on the Switch at some point. And to be fair, like, I don't think the 64 quite has the library that the Nintendo Super Nintendo do, but there's enough games on there to make it worthwhile to have that catalog also available. Doom 64 was great. That was a super fun game. Obviously, if they could bring GoldenEye to any console, people would freak out.
And Perfect Dark, thank you.
Perfect Dark would be fantastic. But even the you know, first party Mario and Zelda, Mario 64 and Ocarina of Time are a couple of the best games in their respective franchises as well. I know Mario 64 is a little polarizing. We've had that conversation on the show in the past. You and I love it. I would also play that again over and over and over and over. And so, yeah, that's, you know, next year in September, we'll probably get the N64 on Nintendo, the Switch Online. So, yeah, Nintendo doing all right. And the crazy thing is almost everything we talked about there is old games. And yet, I think it's amazing. It's just, yeah. The weirdness of the Switch.
It's fantastic because, like, let's face it, we're kind of in a holding pattern until the big games come out. Like, we've got the Outer Worlds coming.
Yeah.
We've got the Master Chief Collection coming. We've got...
Gears just came out.
Yeah, Gears just came out. But this is a great way to get to the holiday season. And everybody and their dog is waiting for Cyberpunk in April. So this is a great way to get around that whole waiting game thing. And Nintendo is genius for doing all of this. And they're going to make a whole lot of money.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy lot of money. I was just curious. I'm looking really quickly at games coming out this year, just what we've got left. And so I'll go through a couple of these just briefly. Outer Worlds, as you mentioned, October 25th. Death Stranding is November 8th. Let me see. Nintendo Switch games, if there's anything. Link's Awakening, that's a big deal. That's coming the 20th of this month. That's right around the corner. Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast, another old game, by the way. Coming to the Switch, September 24th. The Witcher 3 coming to the Switch in October. Looking at Xbox One titles, we already got Gears that came out or is officially coming out on Tuesday. I already have it pre-installed with the Game Pass thing, which is fantastic.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I'm going to pull that up and see if it does anything. By the way, Game Pass is later in the show, but I'll go ahead and mention it now. Obviously, Gears 5 is a huge deal on Game Pass, the fact that you get that at launch. Dead Cells also on Game Pass this month, and so I just installed that as well. It's a game I've been looking forward to playing and just haven't pulled the trigger to buy yet. Now I got it. So, you know, Game Pass, the real deal. That thing's freaking fantastic. So. There's a lot still coming this year, and then obviously early next year we have Final Fantasy VII Remake, we have Watch Dogs Legions, we have Cyberpunk, we have something else is in there that I'm forgetting that's super obvious, but there's really, really good games coming really soon without enough time to play them all.
Yeah, that's right. I say again, ladies and gentlemen, we need to go full time. So,
yeah.
Yep. That means we need your money.
Yep.
So, yeah, definitely go by that Patreon page and click that little button there because we'll use it.
Yep.
I promise.
Speaking of Cyberpunk, I'll bring that up really quick because it's obviously a big deal, maybe the most anticipated game in quite a while. The Deep Dive video came out. I've got a sneeze that's building. Apologize. Excuse me. I thought I was going to make it. I did not. Cyberpunk is coming early next year, as we know, maybe one of the most anticipated games in the past decade. A just huge hype behind this thing. We finally got to see the gameplay video, or at least part of it that's been shown behind closed doors since the E3 that we've kept hearing about, like hearing the impressions of people who saw it but never getting to see it ourselves. It was only 14 minutes long. I think we were expecting something I was expecting a lot longer than that. They called it a deep dive. I think that's pretty generous. It just didn't feel like that deep of a dive to me. So the long and short of it is we basically already knew everything because we've heard everybody who's seen it talk about it. And so there wasn't really anything new here. But it was nice seeing some of it. And the biggest focus of it, which I think is a good discussion point for us real quick, is the idea of the different kind of play styles, that you don't have classes necessarily in the game, that you just kind of choose how you want to play. You pick the skills that you want to be reflected in kind of your character play style. But those kind of manifest into these kind of classes. And they showed kind of a brute force class, a run and gun, and kind of just beat people to death thing. And then they showed the what they call the Netrunner class, which is the kind of hacking and stealth class. So it was cool to see kind of similar parts of the game approached both ways of either like tear the door off its hinges or hack the door to sneak in, you know, different approaches to get into the game. And then just seeing more gameplay, more video from it, it's still so freaking pretty and amazing looking. That was exciting. So while I was a little disappointed in the overall like amount of depth to the video, is still fun to see.
Well, the thing that excites me about it, and it kind of has me thinking I might be able to get you guys some content this week or next because I have more bandwidth in my house, and I think theoretically I can stream now. And so seeing this kind of got me back in the idea of, wouldn't it be cool to go back to Mankind Divided? Because Mankind Divided and the other Deus Ex games were the ones that kind of started this play the way you want to play kind of a thing. I mean, that's why I love them, because there's 8 zillion different ways to go about something. And to see that Cyberpunk is doing this and not really having a class system, I really love. The thing that concerns me is, if you're going to do it that way, it has to be deep.
Yeah.
Mankind Divided and the other games in that series are stupid deep. I'm concerned that Cyberpunk is not going to be deep enough, but I hope.
Yeah, I think that's a fair concern. I think, again, because they have such a successful game out in The Witcher 3 and a fairly successful franchise in The Witcher, I just think The Witcher 3 is so far above those other two games. It gives me a lot of hope that they can pull it off. Like, they're a company that has proven, not in this world, not in this kind of approach to a game, something that's more first-person shooter-oriented, even if it's not, you know, a first-person shooter necessarily, but it does have that feel that has RPG elements as opposed to being a deep dive RPG. That they can do it, because they've proven they can do it with a game before. And so what I think is really important is being able to balance the amount of depth there with being able to customize and really get into this character and make them play the way that you want them to play, without it being like either unwieldy to do that, you know what I mean, where it's like awkward. I feel like Fallout can kind of lean that way sometimes, of like all the perks and stuff that you're like, I just want it to do like this, and so I don't want it to feel like it's too laden down with stuff. And so maybe more to the point, I've been playing Kingdom Come Deliverance on and off, as I mentioned before, and it's a game that I feel like is a little bit too burdened by its like skill and perk system and that kind of thing. Like, there's a balance there that you can make it both deep and accessible, and I think The Witcher 3 is a really, really good example of that. So I'm hopeful that they pull that off in this game too.
And Fallout, I play the way I play because I think it's worthless any other way.
Right.
I know there are people that play Fallout 4, especially as a run and gun type deal, but you can't play the other Fallout games that way. And this brings up a very interesting point with Outer Worlds, which we're about to see. I think it has more run and gun in it than Fallout ever did.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about the fact, am I going to be able to build that character like I did my Fallout character? And if the answer is no, then I'm probably not going to get that far into it.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. You're right. The balance is a very interesting thing, because every single Fallout character I've ever had is the same build. It's a guy that hacks, that does lockpicking, that has maxed out speed skills, and that's pretty much it.
Yep.
I mean, I may be the only guy out there that played both Fallout 3 and New Vegas totally in melee. Like, I had this, like, gasoline-powered flaming sword that I built for Fallout 3. And my character, I kid you not, was a melee character. Because one of the biggest things in Fallout was finding ammo that you needed for a given gun. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
And when you play 60% of the game as a melee character, by the time you get to the end, you've got 8 zillion rounds of everything for every gun conceivable.
Yeah.
So I'm really hopeful. I hope they pull it off in Outer Worlds and in Cyberpunk. But it's kind of one of those deals I have to wait and see before I believe it.
Yeah, you and I will both be playing Cyberpunk in that kind of Netrunner mold, I'm sure. I'm really looking forward to that. And so I hope that that's a fun way to play the game. Like, it's easy to imagine that, like, they kind of give more weight to one play style than the other, and that, like, one of them could feel kind of tacked on. And so if that happens, I'm hoping that it's the Netrunner that feels more natural. But more than that, I'm hoping that all play styles, because I'm sure there's some in between to that as well, and maybe some even different approaches than those, will also be fun. A couple other Cyberpunk 2077 things. Multiplayer is in development. What it is and what it looks like and all that, who knows? I can't say that I really am too interested, but who knows? Maybe it's something that's fun, and being it's a game that you and I are both going to play, and I think both going to really, really enjoy, might be cool to have some multiplayer something in it that we could do together.
Well, and I'm thinking something, and there are people that are literally going to throw whatever they're listening to us on after I say this. I'm thinking there are some options that you could do, like a Hearthstone or a Gwent type game or a hacking type game that is, you know, that is network based. There's all kinds of little stuff that you can do. And when you talk about multiplayer, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what people want.
Yeah.
That's what I want, because that's the stuff I know will work.
Right.
I don't want to play Capture the Flag in Cyberpunk.
Yes.
I don't want to do that.
I'm with you there. If they could put some interesting co-op things in there, I could get into that. Yeah. I don't want to play Capture the Flag. Stuff like that. That doesn't interest me as much. In case you were worried, too, one more last CD Projekt story here. They are officially still working on The Witcher. They are now what they are calling a dual franchise model, working on Cyberpunk and The Witcher going forward. And so, lest you are worried you want to see any more Witcher content, you have the Netflix show coming, for one, which is still bizarre. That comes pretty soon, I think. And then we have more games in development. So no shocker there, but nice to hear confirmed. Super briefly, just to squeeze Sony in the show for just a second, Tokyo Game Show is coming up. That's happening next week. So, like, now we've got another big event happening. Sony will be present at Tokyo Game Show. Sony's been fairly quiet this year so far. Not a big presence either at E3 or at Gamescom. Feels like they're going to have a bigger presence at Tokyo Game Show, including a list of games that you can go read if you care, of all the stuff that they're going to show. A few big ones that you would expect in here, like Final Fantasy VII Remake and Death Stranding, seem pretty obvious. Ghost of Tsushima is on the list, which is nice to hear. Notably absent from the list, though, is The Last of Us 2. Not on the list of games that they're talking about at Tokyo Game Show. I don't know if that's just because they don't feel like that's necessarily the audience for The Last of Us 2, or like they're just not ready to show anything more about The Last of Us 2. But of their big games yet to come that we know about, that's the one I'm most excited about, and the one that we're probably not going to hear anything about, which is a little bit of a bummer.
Duff did tell me he is in the process of beginning The Last of Us, whatchamacallit, not remake, but the
remaster,
the
or whatever it is.
Package, the remaster, So,
man,
so, yeah, there,
you're
there's
in for
that,
a ride, my friend.
Yeah,
that phenomenal.
Yeah,
so
that's a great game, and they need to be talking about The Last of Us too, and it kind of worries me that they're not.
Yeah. Me too. But maybe they're just going to spring it on us like all of a sudden, like, hey, here it is. And it's like E3 next year, because, man, you can't really release it before E3. There's just too much stuff already coming before E3. But it could be one of those things like they're like, yeah, hey, here's some more Last of Us, and it comes out next week kind of thing. That would own the summer. Doesn't seem like a great time to release a mega hit like that, but whatever. One quick thing on Death Stranding. Hideo Kojima sent out a tweet, and I'll just read it for you. Normally, there's only easy mode, but we added very easy mode for movie fans, since we have real actors like Norman, Mads, Leia, Starden, even Yano-san, who I don't know who that is, who never completed the first stage of Pac-Man, was able to complete the game in very easy mode. So just in case you were worried about the difficulty with Death Stranding, there will be a very easy mode if you just want to go through and not understand the story at all, because I don't think you're going to understand the story at all.
No, I that sounds like a really bad idea.
It feels like essentially what Metal Gear Solid 4 was at times, where you just sat and watched it for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Yeah. No.
I've never really thought of like Kojima being good at making movies, but Kojima's kind of good at making movies, you know? Like, that's kind of what he's done in the past. And so I would imagine you should expect a lot of that from Death Stranding, of sitting with a controller in your hands watching the screen.
Yeah, and which we know how to do that, but what I'm worried about is something that we dealt with in Metal Gear, and that's weird controls.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about any of the rest of it. I hope the controls are good.
Yeah, that's very fair.
The rest of it will be fine. If the controls suck, we're going to last about 10 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I love the guy, but, like, this is some weirdness.
It is.
And if there's anything that is like hard, and I'm not talking about difficulty, but if the controls just suck, I don't know how much of it we're going to play. Because there's only so much weirdness that us old guys can handle.
Yep.
And your personal limit when you show me a baby in the bottle.
Yes.
Yep. That's
Really quick on, yeah, you're absolutely right. Really quick on game releases. We're getting to that time of year that game releases are actually pretty exciting. Off Metacritic, just go through a few of these really quick. On PS4, Monster Hunter World Iceborne, the expansion for Monster Hunter World, is out and got a 90. Which is by far the highest score of anything we're going to talk about. And Gears 5 came out. So that seems like a big deal. River City Girls, which is like a River City Ransom kind of thing, I've seen bounce around. I'd never heard of this thing before. But it's out on a bunch of different platforms. It has an 81. Gears 5, as I mentioned, on Xbox One, has an 85, a little bit less than that on PC. I don't know why Xbox One scores are always higher, but they're always higher compared to the other ones. Control.
Because they're paid.
Maybe so. Control, which is this crazy game that we saw last year at E3, talked about quite a bit, and it's getting some real love over on the Facebook page. That's like this kind of weird sci-fi-ish, like, extra superpower thing. I don't know, like weird, like chick controls the world with some supernatural powers, physics play, first person shooter, third person shooter. I'm not even sure if it's a third, I think it's third person. I don't know. It looks really cool, and apparently it's a lot of fun.
So a couple things on that, not that we have time to stop, but and you saw me talking about it on the Facebook page, because I got into it with Samuel because you were unconscious on an operating table.
Yep.
And I thought, if dude doesn't wake up, I'm really going to have to pick it up. So on Tuesday, I was lurking on the Facebook page and talking about Control. And one thing that really interests me is they basically said, if you have a PC and you have some money, go buy a 2080 because it's not even close. And the stuff that I have read that says this is an RTX showcase, now I want to see it. Like, up to this point, I'm like, okay, I can get away with not upgrading until Cyberpunk, and I might just like skim that. But this thing, I don't know. Everybody is raving about the RTX with this thing. I don't know how much better it could possibly be, but apparently it's really good.
Yeah.
And I had this theory. I told Duff that he has to play it because he's the only one we know with the 2080. I'm thinking after he plays it, we might end up with presents on our doorstep because if it's good and he likes it, you know what happens.
That's fair.
So that's mind-blowing to me. Do you have any thoughts on that? Because the idea that people are talking about this being a ray tracing showcase is mind-blowing.
Yeah, apparently it's just super pretty in general, even without that. But obviously that would send it over the top even further. It does, just what I've seen of it. I need to go. Like, I'm not a big, like, go watch people play games, but this is kind of one I think I'd like to watch somebody play for a little bit, you know, on Twitch or something, just to get a sense of it. It looks super cool. And it's super, this is, I had a worry about it, that it was one of those games that kind of looked cool, but it was probably just going to be kind of like, man, you just do the same thing over and over again, even though, like, it has this mechanic that seems like a lot of fun. They probably don't take a good advantage of it. Doesn't feel like that's true at all. Like, it feels like it's legit, like, a really good fleshed out game that has interesting world and story and characters and this fun kind of mechanic and everything else. Plus, is super pretty, and so... Yeah, it's reviewing well, and like you said, everybody I've heard talk about it just raves about the thing. So
here's the thing that gets me and that will probably keep us in it. The only comparative game that I can think of from our past that it feels similar to is Silent Hill.
Yeah.
It feels like Silent Hill to me.
Kind of mess with your head in that way.
Yeah, yeah, and Silent Hill kept me in it for a long time because it just messes with you. And if it looks good and the other thing is, you know, we talk about the job that you have. We talk about my love for it too. For something like this to work, the audio has to be great.
Yeah,
and if the audio is great, that's it. You got us.
Yep.
Yeah. So I really am. I'm excited.
Agreed. Blair Witch, the game that we saw at E3, kind of unexpectedly.
Not excited. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Is out. It got a 73 on Metacritic, which is, yeah, I wasn't going to play it in the first place, but maybe it's cool for somebody. Final Fantasy VIII Remastered is out. It feels like that was just announced. That was a big kind of thing out of Gamescom, and it's now here officially. Children of Morta, which is this roguelike on the PC that we saw last year at E3 that looked really cool, is out. Again, just a ton of stuff that's out there. NBA 2K20 is on Steam if you're interested. And so, yeah, lots of really, really good stuff right now. And it's just going to keep happening because we're at that time of year where big games are coming and just about every week. So, yay for games.
We got to have more time. We got to have more time. We got to have more time.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's going to happen, but I'll just put this out there, assuming that you know, he's not doubled over in pain next week since Tokyo Game Show is happening. I'm hoping we get another show like we did with Gamescom. That was cool. I enjoyed that. I'm hoping we can slide that in there as well.
Yeah.
Because there'll be a lot of good stuff from that.
Absolutely.
And... I'm going to be in your house in 2 weeks, and we only got 3 days, but, you know, we can slam a lot of content in 3 days. So you guys have got a lot to look forward to. I will say this. We got to have segments. Segments, segments, segments.
Yep.
Because we haven't heard from you guys in quite a while. You and I have been off... on and off for a while. Some of you guys, I miss you guys. So if you haven't submitted a segment in a while, please send us segments.
Yep.
This is what this show was built on, is you guys talking to us about the stuff that you love, because we can't play everything. So Samuel, I'm looking at you. you kept me busy at work on the Facebook page. You know how hard that is? Like, I'm sitting where people can see me and Facebook's open and I'm like, I hope nobody comes in because we're having a debate on Facebook. So if you love control that much, buddy, send us a segment and tell us about it.
Yes.
Dev, we got to have segments. What else? What else do we need while we have them here?
Come hang out at Facebook, Twitter, all the good stuff. Voicemail line.
509-GAME-210. That's 509-GAME-210. It will cut you off after 3 minutes, but call us back, and we will flash it together. And ladies and gentlemen, we have been promised a third installment of the GU Boogie, which I'm really excited about, from the cabbage.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be made fun of for the rest of my life for whatever I said in that segment, but I'm really excited, and if he keeps this up, we're going to have a GU Boogie compilation.
Absolutely.
Would be awesome.
It would be awesome.
All of that said, Tommy sitting over there, he's got a piece.
I'm doing a little dance in the chair.
We got to get out of here. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This has been Gaming Unsens for another week. We're glad you're here, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.